Gospel of Luke chapter 1. Once again we will be concentrating our thoughts primarily upon verse 17 as we continue our study in the life of John the Baptist. And the angel revealed to Zacharias that John, the promised son, he said he shall go before him, that is, before the Lord, in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The last time we considered John, we considered the making of the prophet John. The Lord was the one who made John what he was. We noted John and his standing before God. That is, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Perhaps not so great in the sight of men, but what the most important thing of all was that John was great in the sight of the Lord. Something we should all strive after, something we should all pray for, that if we may be great, may we be great in the sight of the Lord. Then we noted also John and his separation unto God. And it was seen there in the fact that the Lord, through the angel, told Zacharias that not only would his promised son be great in the sight of the Lord, but he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And that reminded us of the vow of the Nazarite we read about in Numbers 6 verses 1 to 3. It was a mark of his separation unto God that he would not drink wine nor strong drink. This would lead us to believe that John the Baptist was a Nazarite. He was most certainly a man who was separated unto God. Of that there is no doubt. And as we look at John, once again, it ought to be our prayer that we would live that separated life, separated unto God. And then we noticed also John and the Spirit of God, because we were told that he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And so even as an infant, a work of grace would be wrought in the heart of this John the Baptist. And even as an infant, he would be filled with the Holy Ghost. And we noted the connection there in John not being one who would drink wine or strong drink, but being a man who would be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And Paul, of course, tells us that we're not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but we are to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And the teaching is that John, indeed any man or woman, who is filled with the Holy Ghost will be under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, will be guided, led, directed by the Spirit of God. So there you have the making of the prophet John, is what God made him. Now this morning we want to consider the ministry of the prophet John, because the angel here reveals to Zacharias certain aspects of the ministry of John the Baptist, being filled with the Holy Ghost. John was certain to have a ministry that would glorify God, would exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is one thing that stands out in the ministry of John the Baptist. He was a man who exalted Jesus Christ. I often think of the ministry of John, and often pray, Lord, give me a ministry like John. Because what was said of John? John did no miracle. But all things that he spake of this man, Christ, are true. John the Baptist, as one who was full of the Holy Ghost, was a man who spoke well of Christ. That, of course, is the ministry of the Spirit of God. It is to exalt Jesus Christ. And so, dear child of God, where you find a saint of God who is full of the Holy Ghost, you will find a saint of God whose life will tell for Christ and whose life will exalt Jesus Christ. Because that's the ministry of the Spirit of God. And when you look at the ministry of John, you'll find, first of all, that it was a saving ministry. What did the angel say in verse 16? And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Zacharias learns that his son, through his life and labors, would be a man who would turn many to the Lord God of Israel. There you see his saving ministry. He would see many souls converted to the God of heaven. That tells us, dear child of God, that this life and ministry of John the Baptist was an influence for good. It was an influence for good. We see that John would have a ministry that would touch the lives of others. He would have a ministry that would change the lives of others. He was an influence for good in his day. Through his ministry, John would see men turned. And we'll look at that word in a moment or two. But through his life and his labors, he would see men and women turned. Turned from their sin. Turned from their wickedness. Turned from their vices. And turned on to God. And this would mean that many lives would be changed. Many homes would be changed. Many families would be changed. Many individuals would be changed because John the Baptist was an influence for good because of his life and his ministry. And that is why the angel said to Zacharias, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Many, those that he turn to the Lord God of Israel through his ministry, would rise up and call John the Baptist blessed, and they would thank God for the day that John the Baptist was born. And I'm sure It is the same with many in this day regarding our moderator, Dr. Paisley. He's a man who has led thousands to Jesus Christ. He has seen thousands turned to the Lord God of heaven. And I'm sure many of those whom our brother led to Christ would thank God for the day that Ian Richard Kyle Paisley was born. Thank God for the day was born. Thank God for the day was saved. Thank God for the day was called into the ministry. And thank God for the day that he preached the gospel to them. And I thank God for the day that he preached the gospel to me, because it was through his ministry that I first heard the gospel of saving grace. Wasn't until I attended Dr. Paisley's mission in Tandragee, in the Temperance Hall there in Tandragee, that I heard the gospel for the first time. And for that reason alone, I can thank God for Dr. Paisley. He preached the gospel to me. And the angel says of John the Baptist, many shall rejoice at his birth. Many will thank the Lord for the day that John was born. He was an influence for good. And oh, that you and I, believer, would also be an influence for good in our community, in our neighborhood, in our town, that we would be an influence for good, that our witness would tell for Jesus Christ, and that through our lives, through our work and our witness, and yea, our very words, that we also might see lives changed. That mothers and fathers would see the lives of their children changed by their witness in the home. That we would see the lives of our neighbors changed by our witness in the neighborhood. That there will be those in heaven who will thank the Lord for the day that we spoke to them about Jesus Christ. And as Rutherford said, that his heaven would be two heavens if one soul from Antwerp were to meet him at God's right hand. He said, my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. Would our heaven not be two heavens if someone met us there in glory? And that individual was one that we led to Jesus Christ. Surely our heaven would be two heavens. Not only was he an influence for good, John the Baptist was an instrument of God. After the Lord had saved Saul of Tarsus, the Lord sent Ananias to him, saying, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, that is Saul of Tarsus, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He's a chosen vessel. I have chosen him. He is a vessel that I will use. Saul of Tarsus was an instrument in God's hand. John the Baptist was an instrument in the hand of God. He was a chosen vessel unto the Lord, one that the Lord was going to use to be his messenger, to be his witness, and to be his forerunner. He was an instrument that God was going to use to turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. Oh, to be an instrument in the hand of God. Oh, to be that vessel that the Lord will use to be made the instrument that the Lord promised to make Jacob. How often have we heard ministers pray this prayer? For the Lord said of Jacob, "Behold, I will make thee a new, sharp, threshing instrument having teeth. I'm going to make you a new, sharp, threshing instrument." Know that God would make us that new, sharp, threshing instrument and be used in His hand to turn many from the paths of sin into the paths of righteousness. Oh, dear child of God, do we not want to be soul winners for the Lord? Will we have stars in our crown when we get to glory? Will we meet those in heaven whom we led to Christ? Daniel chapter 12, in verse 3, we read, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." And so a very high place in heaven is afforded those that are soul winners. They shall shine as the stars in the firmament. They shall shine as the stars forever and ever. They that turn many to righteousness. Isn't that what John was doing when he commenced his ministry and went out and preached? He turned many to righteousness. There you have John the Baptist and his saving ministry. John the Baptist and his successful ministry. Many want to be successful. That is, as the world counts successful. But John the Baptist would be successful according to God's standards for success. Remember, he would be great in the sight of the Lord. Not necessarily in the eyes of the world, but in the sight of the Lord he would be great. John the Baptist would be an instrument in the hand of God. And John the Baptist would turn many to righteousness. Look at verse 16 again. "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just." Now from these words, we see that what John had in his ministry were genuine conversions. He saw many turned to the Lord their God. What is repentance? Repentance is a turning. Repentance means to turn away from. And here John was a preacher of repentance. Indeed, that was his first message. For he went out and preached repentance. Repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was exactly the same message that Christ preached. The first message that the Lord Jesus preached was repentance. First message John preached was repentance. And what is repentance? It's a turning away from sin. And here the angel told Zacharias that John would turn many unto the Lord their God. In other words, John would see many men and women repent of their sin, turn away from their sin, and turn unto the God of heaven. That's why we say John's ministry was a successful ministry. It's interesting. Look at that word, turn. Verse 16, he shall turn. Verse 17, he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers. You take that word, turn. The word turn there means to turn over onto. To turn over onto, to turn over onto someone. And there you have John's ministry. He preached repentance, and as a result of his preaching of repentance, he saw many turned over onto the Lord God of Israel. He saw them turned away from their sin, saw them turned away from their wicked vices, saw them turned away from their iniquities, saw them turned away from their sins, and saw them turned over unto the Lord their God. That's why we say John had a successful ministry. John wasn't interested in decision making. John wasn't interested in men and women making a commitment to the Lord God of Israel. No! John wanted to see lives changed. And the only way lives can be changed is when men and women repent of their sin, turn away from their sin. I tell you, John's ministry would not be popular today. John's ministry would be frowned upon today, because in many circles repentance is no longer preached. We live in this day of easy believism. We live in this day of user friendliness. Everything has to be user friendly. And that idea has crept into the churches as well. It has to be user-friendly. We mentioned that a few weeks ago, and how some pastors address the Lord in a very flippant and familiar way because they say it's user-friendly. Well, it's crept into the business of soul winning as well. Preaching repentance is not user-friendly today. Why? Because when you preach repentance, you're telling the people they must turn away from their sins. And today there's a brand of religion that more or less tells people they can have their sin and have Christianity. No, they can't. People don't like to be told they have to abandon their sin. They have to turn their back on their sin, and they have to turn unto God and give their all completely to Him. Many don't like that brand of Christianity. In other words, they don't like scriptural Christianity. Because men and women, if they are to have Christ as their Savior, they must turn away from their sins. First Thessalonians 1 and verse 9, "And they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." There it is. And it's the same word for turned. Ye turned from your idols unto the living and true God, and ye served Him. There's Christianity. That is true Christianity. And that's what John saw done in his day. He saw many turn to the Lord God, turned away from their sin and turned over unto to become the possession, if you like, of the God of heaven. John had a successful ministry. There were many souls in glory as a result of John's ministry. There have been many who will meet John at God's right hand and thank God for the day that John was born, because he preached to them the gospel. It was a saving ministry, a successful ministry, and a singular ministry. You read the life of John. Indeed, you read over these few words spoken by the angel to Zacharias. And what do you find? You find that the angel spoke regarding John's ministry that it would be focused, centered, given over unto serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Those few words, there's nothing else in those words other than what John would do for the Lord. His was a singular ministry. John the Baptist lived and labored for Jesus Christ. That's why we have entitled this series "Living and Laboring for the Lord." That's what John did. He was sold out to the Lord. He lived to be a witness for the Lord. He lived to be a messenger for the Lord. He lived to be a forerunner for the Lord. That's why he lived. That was his life. He lived to turn many from the paths of righteousness unto God. He was focused and fixed and fervent in his living and laboring for the Lord. He could say with Paul, "For to me to live is Christ. Christ is all my life. Christ is my everything. He is the very breath that I take. He is the food that I eat. He is the drink that I drink. He is my days, He is my months, He is my years. He is my everything." Oh, for a life like that. Oh, for a ministry like that. And oh, that we also might be as fixed as John was in winning the lost, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave, weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. We sang one of McShane's hymns this morning. McShane was a man who had a burden for souls. You know that familiar story of him standing in the street beside his mother, and as the people walked by, heard their footsteps, and he said to his mother with tears in his eyes, he says, "Mother, do you not hear them? Do you not hear them? Do you not hear the sound of countless feet of Christless souls going down into hell? Do you not hear them?" On one of his visit to Palestine, he saw a number of Egyptians standing together in one of the towns that he passed through, and he cried out, "Oh, that I could speak their language! I would tell them of salvation." Just seeing a group of individuals on a street corner burdened his heart, and his heart was breaking because he couldn't speak the language. If he could have spoken the language, he would have told them about Christ. Bless the Lord for men like John the Baptist, Robert Murray McShane. Oh, for a burden like that. Now, we'll consider the mission of the prophet John. The angel now revealed to Zacharias what would be the mission of this man who would become known as John the Baptist. Verse 17, here was his mission. "He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." That was his mission. That was John's mission in life. What's our mission in life? What's your mission in life? What is my mission in life? Notice his pathway. It says, "And he shall go before him." The obvious question here is, he shall go before whom? Who will he go before? Look at the connection of the words in verse 16 and verse 17. "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him," before the Lord their God. And here is a wonderful proof text of the deity of Christ. The Lord, our John, is the forerunner. He was to go before Christ. He was to go before him and prepare the way. And here we see that the angel says, "Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him." He shall go before the Lord their God. And that's Christ. Here's his pathway. So now we can see that it is the pathway of omnipotence. It is the pathway of God. Turn, please, to Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And verse 3. "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness," that's John, "prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." It's Christ. He is the Lord God. "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And John the Baptist was to prepare the way for the Lord Jehovah. Christ is the Lord Jehovah. And he was to make straight a way in the desert for God. Christ is God. And John was to walk the pathway of omnipotence. He was to walk the pathway of God. In other words, the pathway that God had set out for John. The road, the pathway that the Lord had planned for John. He shall go before him. That's what God wanted John to do. That was the pathway John had to walk. And as he walked that pathway, John was in the will of God. John was fulfilling the word of God. John was doing the work of God. My John must have been one of the happiest men on the surface of the earth. Because the happiest man in this world is the man or the woman who is indeed in the center of the will of God, fulfilling the word of God and doing the work of God, the happiest man this side of eternity. Walking in God's way, living in His will, is the happiest place for the Christian to be. Have we heard Him say unto us, "This is the way, walk ye in it"? Are we walking in God's way, doing God's work, fulfilling God's will? The Lord says, "This is the way, walk ye in it." And are we able to say with the servant of Abraham, Eliezer said, "I being in the way, the Lord led me"? The Lord will lead us in His way. The servant of Abraham was already in God's way. It was the pathway of omnipotence, the pathway of God. It was also the pathway of obedience. This way that John walked in, he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. The pathway of obedience. I'd like you to turn to Malachi, last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Note carefully the words. Malachi 3, verse 1. "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." I will send my messenger. Now, Luke chapter 1, verse 17, "And he shall go before him." I will send him, and he shall go. There's his obedience. Many of God's people have been sent by the Lord, but they have never gone. Many have been sent to the mission field. Many have been sent to evangelize the lost. Many have been sent to do a work for God, but they have never gone. They've missed out with God. They haven't been prepared to walk the pathway of obedience. John the Baptist did. "I shall send, and he shall go." There's obedience. John the Baptist lived that obedient life. We often sing, "Where he may lead me, I will go. For I have learned to trust him so, for I remember 'twas for me that he was slain on Calvary. Where he may lead me, where he may send me, I will go." We sing the words. Are we prepared to live the words? He leads me into the mount of prayer. Will we say, "I will go"? When he sends us into the harvest fields of lost souls, will we say, "I will go"? When he bids us take up his cross, cross of shame, cross of suffering, cross of separation, will we say, "Yes, Lord, I will go"? Notice how confident the Lord was that John the Baptist would do what God had called him to do. For what does it say? It says there, "And he shall go." The Lord would send him, and it says he shall. There's no doubt about it. John the Baptist was a dependable man. "I will send him, and he shall go." Definite. John the Baptist isn't going to rebel against the work that God had called him to do. He wasn't going to turn aside from the road that God had called upon him to walk. He was going down that pathway. The Lord was able to say, "He shall go. I can depend on him." He was a dependable servant of the Lord. Lady of his pathway, also have his power. It's no coincidence, of course, that after saying that John would be filled with the Holy Ghost, that the angel now speaks about his power in verse 17, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias," or Elijah. In other words, the angel was saying to Zacharias, "Your son will just be like Elijah. He will embark upon his mission like Elijah. He will carry out his ministry just like Elijah. He'll have the spirit and he'll have the power of Elijah." Indeed, John the Baptist would turn out to be so like Elijah that the Lord called him Elijah. John the Baptist was actually called Elijah. Turn back again to Malachi. Malachi 4. And here the Old Testament ends with a word about John the Baptist. In verse 5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." There he is, "I will send Elijah." He was talking about John the Baptist. And if you don't believe me, turn to Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. And there in Matthew 11, and verse 11, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if ye will receive it, this is Elias, this is Elijah, which was for to come. This is the Lord. He's speaking about John the Baptist, and he says, this is Elijah. So like Elijah was John. Indeed, the Lord had to explain it to the disciples, because the disciples were actually expecting to see Elijah in person again. Peter, James, and John, of course, did on the Mount of Transfiguration. But the disciples, and indeed the Jews, indeed that's why they reject Christ as Messiah to this very day, because they're still waiting for Elijah. But the Lord explained to the disciples, look, John the Baptist is Elijah. The prophet spoke of him. And in Mark chapter 9, he explains it to the disciples. Mark 9 verse 11. And they asked him, saying, why say the scribes that Elias must first come? And he answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first and restoreth all things. And how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught. Verse 13. But I say unto you that Elias is indeed come. He's already here. In the person of John the Baptist. He's already here. And they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. And so John the Baptist was so like Elijah that he was called Elijah. And he went forth in the spirit and power of Elijah. We haven't time to go into it, but you think of Elijah. Elijah was first of all fearless. He rebuked Ahab. John the Baptist was fearless. He rebuked Herod for taking another man's wife. He was faithful. And Elijah stood for the God of heaven. He went before Ahab and he says, I stand before the Lord God of Israel. He was faithful. John the Baptist was faithful. All things that he spake about Christ were true. Elijah was fruitful. There on Mount Carmel, summons the fire to fall from heaven, consume the sacrifice. And what happened as a result? Children of Israel said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Elijah's ministry was fruitful. So was John the Baptist. What did he do? He turned many unto the Lord their God. And his purpose? What was his purpose in life? It was to turn many unto the Lord and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So that when the Lord would come and begin his ministry, there would be a people prepared for him. And there's John. And he lived each day and he ministered with one eye upon the coming of the Lord, making ready a people for the coming of the Lord. Believer, may we live each day in the light of the coming of the Lord. And may we strive with the Lord's help and by His grace to have a people prepared. Souls turn to Christ. Souls who already have turned from their sin and turned on to the Lord and are His people. Oh, may the Lord make us a people who labor every day in the light of the coming of the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer.